Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and the Voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from my sleepy daughter over there, just gave a yawn. Who are you?
Brenda Brim, crew co.
Yeah, we haven't been home long, and I'm telling you, I wanted to get this while it was fresh in our hearts. But the story of how the stones got here, and why are we doing all this anyway? Well, we believe that they are the original Word of God. They are held by a people right now in a certain place who we've always thought before that they don't recognize what they've got. But now we found out on this trip that they've really been trying to do a cover-up. So because they didn't feel they had the adequate security. And so they've kind of been, they really do know what they have and how they got them. About 100 years ago, they were robbed from Ezekiel's tomb by Arab grave robbers. The Arab grave robbers got sick and they went into Syria. And there they told a man that if you can make us well, we'll give you these antiquities. He was a pharmacist. They felt that the antiquities were making them sick. And then they were sold to a bishop in Syria. And a family of that bishop held them till 1948 when they were forced to leave when that war came, you know, the war for the independence of Israel. And a woman consulted her priest and she contacted a man named David HaKohen. Kohen means priest, David HaKohen. And David HaKohen with a very clandestine plan that involved exchanging gold for these tablets in the middle of a war, they came into the hands of David HaKohen. And David HaKohen was an adventurer, all right. He also later on became a minister in the parliament, and he was at one time the ambassador to Burma. And David HaKohen then kept them under his staircase for a long, long time. Then he gave them to his friend, who was the second president of Israel. And that friend didn't really appreciate, didn't know what they were. And the man that we know as Mr. Y and the man who is the expert on them raised the money to have a shelter built for them onto a museum. Now, that museum is being made larger. We before they wouldn't let us into any of them. They just tried to keep us out, you might say. But our friend Alon Sharon, Jewish friend, who had been going to this museum, which is also a study center, and he had been tracing his family, Sephardic Jews, history. He's gained a lot of favor with the museum, and they've literally given him a key to where these stones are now kept. And Mr. Y was so happy to see them again because his contacts had kind of gone away. And they let us go into the, they watched us. They kept people watching you at all times when they took out the file and let us go through it. But do you know what they gave us? And I've got them on the way to me in the mail. They gave us copies of that file. Now, most of it's in Hebrew, but there is a lot of it that's in English. And in this, Mr. Y says that in the text, the original text, there is a coded map to where some things are buried. There's all kinds of things going on with that. But whether or not that is truth or whether or not he wants to follow that or anyone wants to follow that, the exciting thing to me is that is the only original Word of God that we have. Now, the book of Ezekiel is amazing. I did a school of eschatology on the book of Ezekiel. I think it's the best one I've ever done. And it tells how Ezekiel, about him, how he went over there with the people, how God, most Christians don't even know the story of Ezekiel. You should read the prophets through. Read the whole thing through, each prophet. Because each of them had a story. Here's what it is. God chose the Jews. Jews failed. God scattered the Jews. God's going to regather the Jews. And then there's going to be...
Before the Messiah comes.
Yeah, before the Messiah comes. And of course, more thoroughly, when he comes. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be a kingdom that the Jews reinstated to the Jews. Mm-hmm. And
now, the sign of his coming would be the...
The sign of his coming is they're coming home.
Was it them coming home?
Yeah, they're coming home. 1948, Jesus said, who sees that will not pass away till all things have been fulfilled. And there are ancient prophecies regarding these tablets. that they would be found in Ezekiel's tomb before the coming of the Lord, and they have been found in Ezekiel's tomb. Now, the book of Ezekiel itself, you can start reading it yourself, because he first off had to prophesy to them what had caused these terrible things, that they'd been scattered throughout all the earth. But then he prophesies to them that God's not through with you. It's not over for you. You're going to come back. And you can find today's newspaper right up to date if you'll start with Ezekiel chapter 36. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Mm-hmm. Actually, Ezekiel 35 even talks about Jordan and the mountains of Jordan. Ezekiel 36 talks about the land, the mountains of Israel. Ezekiel 36 actually gives you what's going to happen in the mountains of Israel, which is what the world calls the West Bank. Ezekiel 37 is the prophecy of the dry bones, which it says these bones are the whole house of Israel, and that they're going to come up out of their grave. Well, they did come up out of their graves. You shall know I am Jehovah when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. That's the Holocaust. And so then Ezekiel 38 and 39 is a coming war. Most Bible prophecies agree that that war has not come to pass. And this is the one where Russia and its allies headed up, the whole thing headed up by Russia, allies headed up by the number one ally that's mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39 is Iran. Now, just think about it. Ezekiel prophesied 2,600 years ago that Iran and Israel were going to be, Iran and Russia were going to be allies, and it never ever happened until 1992. In 1992, Russia signed an agreement with Iran to build them a nuclear power plant in Bushehr. Now, this was supposed to be relatively, they were supposed to use it, they said, for energy. They've got the whole world's oil supply. They don't need it for energy. They don't need nuclear energy. But Russia said, oh, well, you know, they'll be good and we'll watch over them and this and that. So Russia then, to make this Bushehr plant, dangerous, it had to have nuclear rods put into it. And on the 14th of August, Russia said, we're going to insert this those year. Nuclear rods this year, 2010. We're going to insert those. Our John Bolton, our ambassador to the United Nations previously, he said, Israel's got only 1 week. Russia announced they're going to put them in on August 14th. We're going to start putting them in on, they announced it August 14th. And they said, we're going to put them in August 21. So August 21, I prayed all that week. August 21, I was sitting in my prayer chair praying. The day passed. And I said, oh Lord, has Israel missed their window? And I heard as plain as I've ever heard anything in my life, I heard 40 days. And so I knew they had longer. So I went over to my calendar and I circled the date, and it came out to be like September 29th. Just a few days before that, I started seeing these little crawlers. You know, those little words that come at the bottom of the screen, Fox News. Mm-hmm. And it started talking about a malware called Stuxnet that had targeted the nuclear facilities in Iran. So I think you should go online. You would be just thrilled. This is an article by Ed Barnes. It's on foxnews.com. So go to foxnews.com. And then search, you know how you can search on that page for Ed Barnes. And this is the headline of the article. Mystery surrounds cyber missile that crippled Iran's nuclear weapons ambitions. In the 20th century, this would have been a job for James Bond. The mission, infiltrate the highly advanced, securely guarded enemy headquarters, where scientists in the clutches of an evil master are secretly building a weapon that can destroy the world, then render that weapon harmless and escape undetected. But in the 21st century, Bond doesn't get the call. Instead, the job is handled by a suave and very sophisticated secret computer worm, a jumble of code called Stuxnet, which in the last year has not only crippled Iran's nuclear program, but has caused a major rethinking of computer security around the globe. Intelligence agencies, computer security companies, and the nuclear industry have been trying to analyze the worm since it was discovered in June by a Belarus-based company that was doing business in Iran. And what they've all found, says Sean McGurk, the Homeland Security Department's acting director of national cybersecurity and communications integration, is a, quote, game changer. The construction of the worm was so advanced, it was, quote, like the arrival of an F-35 into a World War I battlefield, says Ralph Langner, the computer expert who was the first to sound the alarm about Stuxnet. Others have called it the first weaponized computer virus. Simply put, Stuxnet is an incredibly advanced, undetectable computer worm that took years to construct and was designed to jump from computer to computer until it found the specific protected control system that it was aimed to destroy, Iran's nuclear enrichment program. The target was seemingly impenetrable. For security reasons, it lay several stories underground, and it was not connected to the World Wide Web. And that meant Stuxnet had to act as a sort of a computer cruise missile. As it made its passage through a set of unconnected computers, it had to grow and adapt to security measures and other changes until it reached one that could bring it into the nuclear facility. When it ultimately found its target, it would have to secretly manipulate it until it was so compromised it ceased normal functions. And finally, after the job was done, the worm would have to destroy itself without leaving a trace. That is what we are learning happened at Iran's nuclear facilities, both at Natanz, where the centrifuges are made, and the Bushehr plant. Now, there's another three pages of this report. I can't give it all to you. But when you read it, you have the thought, no man could have done this. No man could have designed this.
And you told him about the Myrtle.
Yeah. And it had a code in it. The word embedded in the code was Myrtus, M-Y-R-T-U-S, which is Latin for the Hebrew word Hadassah, which is the name of Esther. And remember, Esther was the little girl in Iran that God used to save the Jews from Haman. And by the way, the word Haman is the present day name Khomeini. Remember the Ayatollah Khomeini. Another thing is they use some dates in the embedding that have to do with the first people that Iran, Jews that Iran executed. You'll find this reading like a science fiction. And I know that if God himself didn't do this, then he anointed men and gave them the power to do it. If God himself didn't write those letters on the Ezekiel tablets, then he anointed men. And for that day, it was every bit as powerful as the Stuxnet. Shalom.
Shalom.